Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the big matchup tomorrow between the Titans and the Colts. And as we've pointed out a little bit here on the show so far, it's been a rough go of it for the Titans against the Colts in years gone by. Since 2008, the Titans are 4-19 against Indy. So a one-sided matchup for sure in the recent history of this matchup in the AFC South between the Colts and the Titans. Joe, I want to start with some trivia for you. Other than Ryan Tannehill, who, as we know, is 1-0 as Titans quarterback against the Colts, can you name the only other quarterback for the Colts in the Titans in the Titans era that has a winning record against Indianapolis? And there are a lot of options to choose from.
So I don't think McNair. I don't think Hasselbeck. I know not Mariota. So it's got to be one of those random, like somebody who's 1-0. Is that right? It's not overly random?
No.
Okay. That's a little bit of a hint. Mm-hmm. All right, then I'll say Vince Young.
You are correct. Vince Young, 3-2 in his career against the Indianapolis Colts as the Titans'
Colts killer
quarterback. Colts killer Vince Young out there slinging the ball around. McNair was 3-5, which includes the win in the playoffs in 2000. Billy Volek, 0-1. Kerry Collins, 1-4. And then you go to Hasselbeck, Locker, Fitzpatrick, Whitehurst, Alex Taney, Blaine Gabbert. None of those guys ever beat the Colts. Marcus Mariota was 2-5 with zero wins coming against Andrew Luck.
Yeah, so he had the win at Indy, and that would have been in 17. That was, in fact, that was the day that the Vols hired Greg Schiano. That was quite a day. That was quite a day in the sports world. And that was Jacoby Brissett. That was Luck being hurt. I'm trying to remember what Marcus's other win would have been against them
earlier in the season on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Taylor game, right?
That's right. So they swept him that season with Brissett at
Correct.
QB. Both. That's right.
Yep. Throwing the deep ball to Taywan Taylor.
That was also, I think Marcus was injured, and that he was uncertain to play in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
You don't say.
I think it was a hamstring. Yes, I know Marcus Hayter. I know. He never did anything good. He was always hurt. He never completed a pass per Robbie Stanley.
Didn't say that. I wish him well in future endeavors.
I hope someday you have a team. Like, someday I hope that, like, Butch Jones is coaching the Packers with Mariota as quarterback. That'd be amazing.
Why would you do that to me?
I just
That's
think
very
it'd,
un,
it'd
unkind
nice,
of you.
You never know. They could
Don't
win,
you think I've suffered enough watching this college football team the last 12 years of mine with Tennessee? Don't you think that's enough?
That's true. I'm sorry.
Would Aaron Medley be the kicker?
Yeah. You want to hit the outside of the concession stand instead of a field goal, maybe. There have been some doozies coming in and out of there. Porth, what's your worst memory of Titans and Colts? What brings up the most pain in your heart? Because I can see it on your face. You've been nervous about this matchup tomorrow all week long. And look, I feel pretty good about it from the Titans' point of view. Why are you so nervous? What has scarred you so badly against the Colts?
There are words that I cannot say on the radio that I want to say about the Titans facing the Colts twice a year.
Okay.
I hate it. I hate everything about it. Titans-Colts games are not fun to watch. They are stressful. Even if they win, they never win pretty. That Monday night game that you were talking about just a few years ago, they were tied in the fourth quarter against that team. The win in Indy in 2017, they had to rally in the second half when you knew the Titans were the better team. Those games just are not fun at all. Because the Colts have their number. They have for years. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of watching that little horseshoe beat the Titans every single freaking time. I'm sick of it.
Okay, so
I would say to answer your question, the memory that brings up the worst pain is probably all the way back to 2003.
Ooh.
When it was a heavyweight matchup between McNair and Peyton.
Is that the co-MVP
year? Co-MVP year. The Titans and the Colts playing for the AFC South crown at Nissan Stadium or whatever it was called back then. And the Titans fell down. They were rallying. They miss a two-point conversion with 2 minutes to go to tie the game. They're down 29-27. They get a three and out. They're getting the ball back at midfield, and Justin McCarron's muffs a punt.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
And the Colts recover it, and that is the game. And little 13-year-old Ryan was heartbroken in that one.
So the thing that I don't get, I get all the, like, you're just, all this failure against them builds up this anxiety, but you can't enjoy any kind of win over them, though? Like, they have to blow them out for you to like it?
No, but there's like three and a half quarters.
It's the NFL.
There's three and a half quarters of pain before there's some ecstasy.
Yeah. But see, I would argue that makes it better. You got to embrace those little brief moments. No?
Do you, though? I mean, another moment of pain is that Sunday night game a couple years ago. And it was mostly, like Joe said, the whole day. Like, you're going into that weekend thinking this is it. You have the Colts at home. They've never beaten Andrew Luck. This is supposed to happen with the way they were playing in that December. And then the report comes out about Marcus not being able to play. And it was just this nightmare scenario going into that game. And they just, you know, slowly saw that game fade away.
Were you doing, Robbie, were you Marcus Hayton, like, oh, weak, get your butt out there, you're a pro quarterback? Okay,
good. Not with that one. Good. That was a nerve injury. It's a little different.
Thank you.
I was more concerned about his, like, overall health as a human at that point.
Good for you.
I don't dislike the guy. I just think he sucks at quarterback. Yeah. I don't think that's a bad take. I just happen to think he sucked at quarterback before everybody else did. And now I gloat in that.
Yeah, that's
probably
fine.
A little too often.
Yeah, you know.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, I was scarred when the Colts drafted Peyton. We had just gotten the team here, and then my heart immediately got ripped out. Peyton Manning just immediately rips out the heart with Ben.
Which, again, that he complicated the first many years, right, of this rivalry.
He did. It took him a while to have some success against the Titans, though. Now, remember,
they were awful when he came there. Yeah. He was awful. What, he threw 30, how many picks?
He still got
year?
The NFL record for rookie interceptions.
Yeah.
And the Titans beat him in the playoffs on the year they went to the Super Bowl.
When they were
Eddie
not,
George ran all over them in the playoffs.
And they were not in the same division yet at that point. But, yeah.
There have been some good moments.
Yeah.
For the Titans against the
Colts. I was there. One of the coldest games I've ever been to in my life was the game where Rob Baronis kicked the 60-yarder to beat the Colts. I was standing on the back row at whatever it was then, Nissan, LP.
The nosebleeds all the way up?
All the way up. And I got a good view of that ball going right in over the – I mean, it barely, by the length of the football, got the distance. 60-yarder, though. He booted it.
I don't know why I remember this. I was at Bleachers in Franklin.
Okay.
A little sports bar going crazy when that ball went
through
the
uprights.
You
can count the good memories against the Colts on, like, one hand, though.
I could probably go through Titans-Colts history and tell you exactly where I was for the wins, and I have zero memory of where I was for the losses.
Just blacks out.
That's a good point, see? That's why, obviously, you want your team to be better against their rivals, right? You want them to win more than they lose, but when you have that, you remember those wins more. They mean more.
Mean more, for God's sake.
Like, I think there's something to be said for that, too.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, this should be a tight game, and I'm expecting Leonard and that great Colts defense to show up on Thursday. Could be a tough day for Henry trying to run against arguably the top run defense in the league. Will also be a challenge for AJ going against Xavier Rhodes, who's having a rejuvenated season. This game could come down to which quarterback is able to keep their offense on the field more and finishing in the red zone. I like it. It's a good scouting report.
Good analysis. Red zone, huge. And I agree. Derrick Henry, that defense is very, very tough against the run. It's going to be a challenge.
Just to speak on the ability to get this monkey off their back in these next 3 weeks, like, this finally feels like the year where the Titans are truly better than the Colts. Like, the Colts have a really good team, but the Titans have a much better quarterback. They have a good enough team to beat the Colts perhaps twice.
Ooh.
Perhaps. A good enough team to do it twice. They probably split. If they lose both, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Porth is setting himself up for heartbreak here.
But the reason why I don't yet want to get excited about this Titans team is because we have not seen them play the Colts, and the Colts are still a good team.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in, if we can just get a few blowouts against the Colts, then we wouldn't be so nervous all the time. I'm with you. I hate games against the Colts. You can never relax and feel good the whole game.
Thank you, Ron. I have somebody else in that corner.
So it feels different than playing some other big game.
Yes.
Just because there's like a dread because of all the history, right?
Yes.
It's kind of like playing – this was – and tell me if you think I'm wrong, Porth, but in 2008 when the Titans had their big season, including a big win – was that game on Monday Night Football against the Colts?
Monday Night Football. The Titans were like 6-0.
Yeah.
And it was Peyton and the Colts, so it was the heavyweight showdown on Monday Night Football. And Chris Johnson and Lindale White shoved it up their rear end and won in almost a blowout.
Right.
I think that was like 31-14.
Right.
And that felt so, so good.
But you fast forward later that year, and you've got, you know, the Titans have a bye in the first round of the playoffs, and their team they're matching up against is the Ravens.
Right.
Coming in 2008. And I remember, I mean, the whole conversation that week was about 2000 and what happened in that season. Titans were 13-3. They had been to the Super Bowl the year before. They looked like the best team in the NFL. And the Ravens come in here and broke their hearts.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole conversation was, man, what if that happens again? And sure enough, the Ravens come out there in 2008, and it happens again.
It was spooky. The Ravens were a wild card both seasons, too. It lined up almost identical.
Yeah.
And the Titans just pooped their pants in both of those games.
But I bring that up because there's like a nervous energy heading into that game. I think there's a nervous energy among a lot of Titans fans when they play against the Colts, regardless of who the quarterback or what the matchup looks like.
So the Titans got that revenge last year on the Ravens. It's never going to erase what happened before, right? But that was probably one of the more satisfying things to do it to them, flip it around.
Most satisfying victory of my Titans fandom.
Ooh. That's a bold one. But, I mean,
But I get it. Yeah, because of the history. I mean, 2000 Titans, they win the Super Bowl in a blowout.
Yeah.
They blow out the Giants.
No doubt.
They blew out the Giants earlier that year, didn't they? At home. I think they did.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's taking a Lombardi away. But what could the Titans do to change that feeling against the Colts? I guess they just have to dominate them for a while?
Win both games.
Okay. Yeah.
This year, that's going to change the feeling going into 2021.
Agreed. And who knows what the next quarterback of the Colts looks like. But
sure.
At some point, the odds are it's not going to be Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck.
Well, thank God it's not going to be Trevor Lawrence, because that was my biggest fear when Trevor Lawrence started at Clemson. Like, the Colts are going to be bad enough to get Trevor Lawrence. Go Peyton, Luck, and Trevor.
What a trio that would be. When we come back, speaking of quarterbacks for the Colts, what do we make of the one under center for Indianapolis tomorrow? What advantages could Phillip Rivers give the Colts in this game? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning. Looking ahead to the matchup tomorrow between the Titans and the Colts. And obviously, Phillip Rivers coming in as the starting quarterback for the Colts. He's been very up and down this year. We've seen some versions of very good Phillip Rivers. And we have seen some, oh man, what's he doing out there? That version of Phillip Rivers. And it's interesting when you look back, I guess, at Phillip Rivers' career against the Titans. He's 7-2 in his career against the Titans. He's had a lot of success against this team. Now, obviously, a lot of that has come when Phillip Rivers was younger and was able to throw the ball down the field a little bit more, had a little bit more zip on that fastball, which if you've watched him play this year, that has been a struggle to push the ball down the field. But, Joe, as you look at this matchup and Phillip Rivers specifically, if he's going to hurt the Titans tomorrow, how is he going to do it? What's his formula?
Well, look, Phillip Rivers is accurate, gets the ball out fast. He's smart. And Kevin Byard, I think we're going to hear from Byard here in a little bit. He had some really good stuff on Rivers yesterday, and he called him the smartest quarterback he's ever seen. That's you know, sometimes you get a little hyperbole in these situations when you're about to play a guy, but Kevin Byard, that's a pretty strong statement to me. I mean, he's a guy who – it's weird because It seems that way. You know, pre-snap, Phillip Rivers, he looks like a wizard out there. He knows everything the opponent's doing. He knows what they're trying to disguise. He's been doing this forever. He gets it out quick, boom, boom, boom. He can carve you up. And for as smart as he is, then he'll just randomly decide to, like, throw off his back foot into double coverage, you know?
It's really mystifying when you look at it. Like, yeah. Once there are some balls he throws where you're like, you've been in the league for how long? How do you do that?
Right. And last year, certainly, late in some of those losses. I mean, Chargers fans right now, by the way, every week to them.
You talk about having your heart ripped out.
Yeah. But last year with him, a few of those were him. They're in position, and he makes a throw that you can't believe. So, obviously, the Titans hope that happens. It doesn't always happen. Doesn't happen every week. And he's played better since he was really bad in that loss to Cleveland. And he has played better. He brought him back against the Bengals. I know it's the Bengals, but they were getting killed, and he brought them back. And so he has played better, but he couldn't get much going against the Ravens. That's a very different defensive matchup than what he's facing Thursday. He's not a guy who pushes the ball down the field. He's kind of like Roethlisberger right now. They remind me of each other in terms of smart, veteran, great, Hall of Fame, and not at the height of their powers. And so to me, especially with this receiving core not really being as scary as it's been a lot of years, I mean, I think you really need to be aggressive in this game and try to take away the short stuff, because that's what he's going to try to do. All night.
And one of the things that stands out to me about Phillip Rivers, and I remember being at a Chargers-Titans game. I think it was in like 07. And they won that game in overtime, the Chargers did. And Phillip Rivers is just barking. I mean, he's barking the whole game at the Titans sideline. He's running his mouth the whole time. We see him sometimes running his mouth to his own receivers out there. I mean, the dude talks a lot in the game. Kevin Byard was asked about that a little bit yesterday in terms of Phillip Rivers and what he's like on the field. Here's what Kevin Byard had to say.
Hey, KB, this probably the guys rushing the passer may be able to speak more on this, but just out of curiosity, what's the craziest thing you've heard Phillip Rivers say maybe out there on the field, and do you get a kick out of him a little bit with some of the trash talk? I understand he's maybe one of the quarterbacks that talks the most out there.
Yeah, he's definitely probably talks the most trash out of any quarterback I've faced. I remember last year we played him when he was with the Chargers. You know, as our defense and our secondary, we like to mix and disguise coverage a lot of times. And I remember one time, it was one drive early in the game where he just already pretty much knew what we were doing. And he just told Kenny, I mean, we was playing cover two, but we was obviously trying to show a different look to him. He just told Kenny, hey, get out of here. I know what you're about to do. And he just kind of waved them off with his hands right before he snapped the ball. It was hilarious. And we kind of joked about it throughout the game. Like, you know, me and Kenny was talking. Hey, you heard what Phillip Rivers told me? But, yeah, I mean, he's probably the smartest quarterback I ever played against. I mean, he studies everything, studied mannerisms. It's kind of hard to mix and disguise coverage because he knows so much. But, you know, we do what we can. We're going to do what we do as a defense.
So that's a very funny mental image in my head of Phillip Rivers just talking trash to Kenny Vaccaro, especially given the clip we played a couple weeks ago where, like, Phillip Rivers found people writing articles about him and mixed in every variation of dadgum and dang and darn it and all these other things that he could possibly do. That the mental image of Phillip Rivers talking trash is always one of my favorites.
Yeah, and for people like watching football, you see this a lot. Like, you'll see a safety creep up, and then he rolls back into cover two right before the snap. You know, you see it quite a bit. It's hilarious. He's like, "Oh, you're getting out of here. Yeah, come on. I know what you're about to do." But hey, it sounds like it's a lot of fun out there with him, at least. And yeah, he's a folksy guy. He's an interesting guy. He's a screamer at teammates, too, which is – that's kind of the Peyton Manning
– Brady.
The Brady, yeah, the Brady way. Kind I think
that old school quarterback a little bit. I guess what we classify now as old school.
Yeah, I guess that's old school. Although there's old school quarterbacks who weren't like that either. But, yeah, he talks a lot of trash. I got to think that when he throws these bad picks, he must hear a lot back, right?
Oh, he's got to.
Because he throws some just atrocious picks. I give him credit for still talking trash through that. He's had a good career.
But this goes back to a question we asked last week when the Titans were coming off a game in Cincinnati where they looked awful. They struggled defensively. who do you trust more? Do you trust Phillip Rivers more, or do you trust the Titans' defense more? And that, to me, is still a very interesting question heading into this game, because I'm not all of a sudden ready to anoint the Titans' defense based on what we saw in Chicago. I still think there's several weeks of repetitive performances they need to have to prove something to me.
Well, remember, they're going from back-to-back, torn-up, practice squad level offensive lines to one of the best in football. It's been a disappointing rushing season for the Colts, but it's one of the best offensive lines of football. Very tough offensive line to penetrate and against a quarterback who gets it out fast. So, you know, you have to get them into bad situations to me to have any chance of getting at Phillip Rivers. And that's a great question. Who do you I mean, I think the Titans – one thing the Titans have been good at, they've been good at forcing turnovers, even when they're playing bad defense. Some of that is like tipping the ball at the line. Like Jayon Brown is a guy who he's good at getting those deep drops and tipping the ball, get his hand on the ball at the line, things like that.
Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons pretty good at that as well at the line of scrimmage.
Right, and Jeffrey Simmons, of course, for people who don't remember, last year he put Quentin Nelson on his butt in that game, which people don't do. That was still early Jeffrey Simmons, so that's going to be really fun to watch, you know, those two when they go at it. But that's a great question. Who do you trust more? Who do you trust less? I think that if you're the Titans and you can stop the run and the Colts can continue to not have success running the ball, then I think you can get third down stops against them. When they're in third and long, that's just not where Phillip Rivers likes to be.
It's not, and I don't know if it's fair to classify like last week against Baltimore like as bad Phillip Rivers. I mean, he didn't have like an egregious turnover. The one interception he threw, I mean, you could probably debate whether or not that's an interception.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was bad last week, but I think you saw last week against a really good defense that the Ravens have, they're limited in what they can do off. Like, he cannot push the ball down the field. And if you're the Titans, going back to what they did last week against Chicago, one thing I did see, and we've had a couple texters on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com point this out, Titans seemed like they were more aggressive. They seemed like they pressed a little bit more. I would be more apt to do that this week as well, because I don't think you got to worry a whole lot about the deep ball going over your head.
Well, Jack Doyle is banged up, and he's obviously been a guy who's hurt them. T.Y. Hilton is banged up, but we think he's going to play, but he's older and he's got a groin.
Yep.
They obviously lost Paris Campbell. You know, they have Michael Pittman, who's a nice rookie. But, yeah, they're not that scary, frankly. And I think that you got to feel like you can man up and give tight coverage and make things tough on him. That's what you've got to do. You've got to – if you're going to give him the quick stuff, he'll take it all night and keep the ball.
Make him prove that he can beat you over the top. When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason. Get into the loss on Saturday against Mississippi State, and also what's going on in the SEC right now with COVID-19 outbreaks all around the conference. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 is your exclusive home for the 2020 Masters Tournament. Tune in to 102.5 The Game for leaderboard updates tomorrow and Friday, and then on Saturday and Sunday, ESPN 94.9 will broadcast the Masters live both days. It's all brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Belle Meade for all your golfing needs. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Vanderbilt head football coach Derek Mason. So looking forward to getting into that conversation with him. A lot to get to, a tough loss on Saturday to Mississippi State. And also, as we mentioned to open up the show, bad stuff happening right now in the SEC with COVID-19 outbreaks. Texas A&M and Tennessee had their game on Saturday postponed. It will now be played on December 12th. Alabama and LSU postponed as well, which, by the way, like, speaking of the Masters, it was supposed to be like on CBS, a day full of the Masters leading into Alabama and LSU that night. That's a tough break there for CBS.
Yeah, so this is the first college football Saturday CBS has no SEC game since during college football season. Since when?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I'm going to try to look it up right now. But long time.
Long time. Not a good look for CBS because, I mean, what can you do? How do you adjust at that point?
Well, at least they have the Masters.
That's true. Just go deeper into that Masters coverage.
Yeah.
It's just a mess right now in the SEC. Joe, what did you make of Vanderbilt's performance against Mississippi State on Saturday. A closer game than we've seen the last few weeks. They're in it right until the end, but just don't have enough to get it done at the end, losing by a touchdown to Mississippi State.
Well, they were way better than Mississippi State. They dominated Mississippi State. They outgained Mississippi State 478 to 204.
Yep.
So basically, you know, this was a turnover game. I believe it's four turnovers. Ken Seals threw a couple tough picks in that game. Freshman quarterback, and you're going to have those situations. But once the start was really bad and once they figured it out, they had that offense pegged, and they, you know, did whatever they wanted to on offense too. So that was definitely an opportunity. They it was right there for them.
And Keon Henry Brooks, big game, 20 carries, 115 yards. Another 11 catches and 97 yards in addition to that. So a big game for him as well. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason here on Robbie and Rex Road. Derek, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, man, doing well this morning. Got through a round of testing and getting ready to get back on the practice field this morning.
Absolutely. So Derek, obviously a tough loss against Mississippi State on Saturday. Now that you've had a chance to watch the film and review what happened, what were your takeaways from that game?
You know, for us, slow start defensively, turnovers in that ball game. You know, we're definitely in a difference maker. The opportunity, like for us, or the missed opportunities for us defensively to cash in, because we had our hands on three balls and came up with none. And so the difference in that ball game was really turnovers and missed opportunities. And that's something that, you know, like this team is working to get better at. You know, we're forward facing as we get ready to go to Kentucky. But like for us, a lot of information in that game. I thought our kids competed. They played hard, but that's not enough. You got to execute.
Is there confidence that comes out of that game, though, Derek? Even though, like you said, you know, the turnovers end up costing you, but I mean, you outgain an opponent 478-204, do a lot of good things on both sides of the ball. Like, do you feel like the guys feel better based on that performance moving forward?
The guys want to win, is there some confidence that comes out of that game with the ability that we can, you know, get off the field defensively? You know, can we be physical? Absolutely. Offensively, can we move the ball? Yes. Special teams, can we make an extra point? Absolutely. But you know, it's the lack of consistency across the board of being able to finish in all areas that sort of slowed us down. You know, on Saturdays, man, you're trying to play one opponent and not two, and you know we're working and we're getting better at trying to eliminate, you know, like the second opponent, which is ourselves. So if we can do that, we'll find ourselves moving exactly where we want to go.
Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Derek, I want to ask you about Keon Henry Brooks and just the emergence and the improvement that you've seen out of him this year. 115 yards on the ground on Saturday, added 11 receptions in the passing game for 97 yards as well. Just about as much as you can ask for from a running back in terms of production. What have you seen out of him so far this year?
You know, he's been a workhorse. I mean, he's had to be able to, you know, step up, you know, like in the midst of different guys, you know, and not being available. You know, it was unfortunate that Jamari got hurt, you know, early. But the one thing about Keon, he's always been able to, you know, like find a way to make an impact. You know, he's a gifted runner with great vision. He's got tremendous hands. He loves to compete, and that's really who he is. So we're glad that we have him. He's only going to get better. But it's like anything else. He wants to win. So he's going to give you everything he's got every day, and that's what I appreciate about him. And as he comes to practice, he wants to be better, and that's what his focus is.
So at that position moving forward here, Derek, is Marlowe still out for this week? And then what about Wakefield? And then what about what you're also getting from Rocco Griffin right now?
Yeah, I mean, like, Rocco's getting valuable, you know, in playing time. Javion Marlowe, like, will be back, you know, sometime in the next couple of weeks. So we'll just stay tuned for that. But, you know, Mitchell Pryor, who's actually done exceptionally well. Man, we haven't given Mitchell the ball as much this year, but every time we've given him the ball, you know, he's done something with it. So, I mean, I feel good about where we're at. Jamari, like, is week to week, obviously, just going through you know, rehab protocols, just trying to make sure that we can, you know, get him back when he's ready. But much like anything else, you know, we're gonna go with the next man up mentality. Everybody's working hard to be better, and what we got to do is, you know, show up on Saturday versus Kentucky and play our best ball game.
Derek, obviously a crazy week so far in the SEC. Three games have been postponed so far this week, and something that you're familiar with in this process as well. What have conversations been like with the league this year in trying to handle all of this and trying to handle some factors that at least to some degree are out of your control?
Yeah, look, we post our numbers every week to the league. You know, really, I try not to talk to the league much. I mean, to be honest, I'm just trying to, deal with the things I deal with here every day. We send in our paperwork early in the week. We keep them updated as to, you know, where we're sitting. Every week we're a test away from not being able to play. So, you know, with that being said, man, I think our student athletes are doing a great job. In this space, we continue to educate on, you know, what we need to do in our space. And as the virus or as the pandemic has gotten bigger, you know, I mean, across the country, there's even more awareness about, you know, I mean, what we need to do and how we need to be vigilant about just procedures and protocols for staying safe.
So you mentioned the testing at the beginning, Derek. So testing is going well for you guys this week then?
Yeah, hey, you know, got through a Sunday test, got through a Tuesday test. But, you know, I mean, what a lot of people are starting to understand, it's Sunday, it's Tuesday, it's Thursday, and then you got to be careful that somebody doesn't wake up asymptomatic on a Saturday. So it's a fight every day to know and understand where you sit. You know, you test on Tuesday, but don't get the results till Wednesday morning. So I think, you know, in this, you know, every day you're just working to – man, see if you can get through the day, and, you know, there's nothing consistent about it. So what you're trying to do is make sure, man, that you can keep your guys focused on task at hand and, you know, man, making sure we put in good work today.
And Kentucky, three assistant coaches at this point are out, I guess, for this game. How do you feel? I know it's fluid, but how do you feel at this point about the game happening?
Yeah, like the game's going to happen. I mean, unless they tell me something different. Like today, I mean, they got enough players. I think it goes back to the contact tracing. I mean, in this spot, you know, like, it's hard to believe, man, but that it just winds up being coaches, because coaches are around players. And I know for us, when we've been hit, it's been coaches and players. But Kentucky's done a really good job, man, of just being able to stay healthy throughout, you know, all of this. So sometimes these anomalies happen. So they're well coached, man. They got good players. Coach Stoops, fortunately for him, he's not a positive. So if that's the case, he can coach that group. He knows what he's doing.
Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason on the line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Derek, last thing for you here. As you look at the matchup against Kentucky, what's the key to victory for you guys on Saturday?
You know, we've got to match their physicality. We've got to play a 60-minute ball game. We've got to take care of the football, especially going on the road. And, you know, in doing so, man, you give yourself a chance. We know they're going to possess, the ball with their ball control offense, and their defense is pretty stout. So the biggest thing for us is, you know, getting turnovers and not turning the ball over.
Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Derek, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right, thank you. Take care. Let's anchor down.
Absolutely. Going to be an interesting matchup for Vanderbilt against Kentucky on Saturday, and interesting to kind of hear him talk about the process here of, we've seen it with the outbreak in the SEC this week, like the testing on Sunday and Tuesday and then again on Thursday. So much can change on a daily basis in the SEC. It's pretty incredible to think about the kind of week they're having as a league right now.
And like he said, I mean, it is kind of weird, you know, when you have just coaches who have it, but I mean, it can be all, coaches and players, just coaches, just players. But as of now, it looks like this is one of the few SEC games that's proceeding, and it's still affected by COVID. I mean, is there an SEC game this week that's not affected at all by COVID?
Doesn't look like it. I mean,
it's everywhere.
Let's think about it. Texas A&M, Tennessee has been postponed. Auburn, Mississippi State's been postponed. Alabama and LSU has been postponed. And then right now, Florida, Arkansas is still on, but Sam Pittman has tested positive.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a pretty crazy week right now. And it's not just the SEC. Like, this is happening all throughout college football. But, you know, the SEC largely has been I mean, unaffected is not the right word, but they've been able to navigate through it, and now they're running into a situation where it could start to create some problems very quickly.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit more on the other side of the break. How worried are we about the SEC not being able to complete a full season? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to get back into the Titans and Colts coming up shortly here on the show. But first, we talked about it a little bit last segment, Joe. The SEC in a very precarious position right now in terms of not only this week and just the postponements that we've already seen, but starting to creep into the December months and weeks leading up to the conference championship game. And the LSU situation in particular is very interesting to me because they've already had their game against Florida postponed earlier in the season. That moved off to December 12th. Well, now they've had their game this Saturday against Alabama get moved as well. And right now the canceled term has not been thrown out there. It just says postponed. But you look around and you try to figure out, okay, like where are they going to put this game? Because December 19th is supposed to be the day where the SEC title game takes place. And right now the indication is it's going to be Alabama against Florida based on the way Alabama's looked and Florida's big win against Georgia over the weekend. That's the most likely scenario right now. So if you're Florida looking at this game, obviously, if you hold the SEC title game where it is right now, Alabama can't play LSU on the 19th. So what do you do? Where do you put that game? And if you're Florida, do you have to play that game against LSU a week before the title game and potentially have 2 weeks off for Alabama heading into that game? If I'm Florida, I would be irate about that heading into that game.
Then they will be, and they'll be told, hey, it's COVID. So, I mean, yeah, they're not going to change it up and be like, sorry, well, we got to make it fair for the title game. They'll be mad, but it's just the SEC, college football, they're going to play every single game they can possibly play. It's a big part of why this season is happening right now. You're trying to get every piece of inventory that you can get out there in this season. So it was inevitable that the SEC was not going to be able to totally keep it all together and have everybody get 10 games, right? I mean, wasn't it really? I know it
certainly seems that way.
I mean, there were times earlier in the season when things were going very smoothly, but that wasn't very realistic. So that's how it's going to have to be. And it's also weird, and I don't even know if there are games at this point that would fit into this, but it's possible that the SEC is going to have some of those, you know, basically not as important, I wouldn't call them meaningless, but not as important games on the same day as the SEC title game, which is very strange to think about. Like, you know, you're just going to have whatever random game before, after the SEC title. The SEC title game's primetime this year, by the way,
yeah,
which is not normally the case. But just get those games in. Again, to me, we're going to have different numbers of games all across the board. Every year in college football, a team plays 12 games and four of them matter.
Right.
Three of them matter. They play guaranteed games against teams. They pay $1.3 million to come into their house and lose 63-10. So the idea that we have to have this number that matters for something to rise to the level of relevance, I think is, to me, ridiculous.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where they're going to play this Alabama and LSU game. Because you look at the schedule, like LSU does not have an open date the rest of the season. I mean, up until December 12th, they're playing. Alabama, same thing, up until the 5th, but you can't play that game on the 12th because LSU is playing against Florida. So, like, where are they going to play this game? Are you going to make Alabama and Florida play the SEC title game and then Alabama's got to turn around the next week on the 26th, the day after Christmas, and play LSU? Like, what do you do?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
they're going to want to play that game.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so if you have, so there's where, like, Nick Saban would be irate, and I wouldn't blame him, and it just doesn't make any sense at all to me. So you have SEC championship game, and you have won, and you're going to say, yeah, but we needed to play this game. We got to get
in this
game.
Play LSU.
Yeah.
Get ready for the playoff.
Which, you know, they'd beat LSU by 30, but you could also get three guys hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have some common sense here. And not that other leagues matter. You are you, and it just means more. But these other leagues are canceling games, and they just have to. And to me, that's just got to be totally ruled out. I don't know why they're not just calling it a cancellation right now.
And quite honestly,
that's got to be it. It like, has to be that 26, right?
I mean, that would be the only option I see that's even plausible at the moment.
That's so dumb.
Because, I mean, I don't know where else you'd put the game, but if you're LSU, like on one hand, you want to play the game because of the revenue part of it. On the other hand, the way that defense has been this year, Alabama's liable to put up 65 points on you.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting spot to be in for the Tigers.
I think if I, you know, I know like the fan base be like, yeah, we're real good.
It's okay. We'll
get this one out this year. By the way, we still have a winning streak against Alabama. Ha ha.
I saw someone last night on Twitter propose something that is probably unlikely. It could have been Barrett Salee. I can't remember. But it was a college football reporter who put it out there of, all right, what if the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl both agreed to move off January 1 and you put conference championships on New Year's Day, including the SEC championship, and then the playoff is in the middle of January, and then you put the national championship on the weekend in between the AFC title game and the Super Bowl.
I mean, maybe, but that's a whole lot of moving parts to get, like,
the Rose Bowl. Yeah.
To get in a game that's going to be
say yes to that.
Well, that's a good point. And also, yeah, I mean, you're doing all this so we can watch Alabama destroy LSU?
Sure.
You know? Yeah?
I mean, yeah. It's sure.
I guess if you're like an Alabama fan who really wants to get them back for last year, you know, I'm sure Saban's like, Coach O, I got you where I want you, baby.
But that's not the only game, though.
No, I
mean, if this continues, there would be more games on the 19th.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you could do all that. Again, to me, and I'm fine with it. I'm fine with that. If you push it all back, it'll be fine. I mean, everything's been moved all around. I don't even know what time of year it is anymore. Like, we're supposed to have hockey right now, and
the Masters
have basketball right now.
The freaking Masters are this
weekend. Yeah,
exactly.
Weekend. Masters this weekend. You know, the moving of stuff in general is fine. I just don't know if it's worth it. Again, to me, like, unless you have massive issues, and maybe that will be the case. But at this point where we are, I think you're fine. You got to cancel some games. You cancel some games. If we have to have a playoff at the normal time with a team that played 5 games and a team that played 7 games, I will watch that game. As long as it's Clemson and Ohio State and Alabama and whoever else playing in the playoff, I'll watch it. And we all will.
And who else?
Hey, listen, I'd love your Bearcats to be in there.
He's always got to get that jab in there once a show. Just bring up the Bearcats once a show to remind people they're still there.
Talk it into existence.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. The Bearcats need they need Mike Vrabel's son and in the Boston College Eagles to get some work done against Notre Dame this weekend.
Yes, they do.
I mean, it could be one loss Notre Dame after those 3 teams that you just listed.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Like the 4th team.
That's what I'm saying. That's why they got to – everybody like Cincinnati, anybody else, Texas A&M who wants to sneak in there, they need Notre Dame to go ahead and – which Notre Dame is very good at doing that, by the way.
What if Florida is – uber impressive the rest of the way, and then they lose a close game against Alabama in the SEC title game.
They won't get in, but people will scream for them.
Yeah. That's when
you can't blow that Texas A&M game. You can't blow it.
They did. And that's when the defensive woes, which I'm pretty impressed by, like, the turnaround on that defense, because early it was awful. But right now, I mean, it's pretty clear to me the 2 best teams. Like, if Florida played A&M right now, I'm taking Florida. I think their defense has gotten a lot better. And that offense is just a problem. It's a problem to deal with, which is why, like, in terms of this discussion, I understand, like, it's not ideal. You want to play as many games as you can play, obviously. But if you got to go ahead and just cancel some games. Like, it's obvious. Alabama and Florida is going to be the matchup in the SEC title game. Like, something crazy would have to happen for that not to be the case. So whatever you have to do to keep that game on schedule, I'm cool with.
Now, TV people say, well, I want all Alabama LSU, that is a lucrative game.
Yeah.
That has two huge fan bases. And
absolutely.
I don't care who's supposed to win or what the standings say. That is a big, important game. You know what? Sometimes TV people have to lose.
Yeah, they do. And that's what we brought up CBS in the last segment. I mean, they've got the Masters this weekend, and that was supposed to lead right into LSU-Alabama. That's a pretty big ratings day for them, but part of that they're going to have to eat, it looks like, at least for now.
Yeah, it's that kind of year.
And how much interest is in the Alabama-LSU game, even amongst those two fan bases, if Alabama's like already won the SEC title game, they play the next week? I mean, it's probably still a good number.
Again, Alabama fans are vindictively very much hoping for that game. Yeah, they're like, yes, we want to play this game. Yes, after last year. Yeah, LSU fans are like Tennessee fans this week. Oh, we're not playing Texas A&M? Okay. I'll go rake leaves.
Find a nice hobby to get through on the weekend. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do on Saturday.
There's some other good games, right? Actually, yeah. it's not a great slate. But there's you got some Vandy,
maybe
Kentucky
I'll watch,
to start off.
Maybe for the first time this year, I will really sit down. I've watched a little bit of it, but I will really sit down and invest my time and watch some Cincinnati Bearcat football. Who they got this week?
Friday night at home against East Carolina.
Friday night's even better.
They're like 26-point favorites.
On ESPN or something?
Or CBS Sports Network or wherever.
Yeah. Okay. It'll be on something. Yeah. Basically, to watch them and take anything from it, it's that UCF game, right? I mean, that's
– probably.
They play Houston still? They play Houston. No, they just bombed Houston. Yeah, that's right.
But I'll tell you what, though, like here locally, like this breaks better for the Masters because you got the Titans playing tomorrow night, no Vols on Saturday. I thought the Masters here locally might get lost in the shuffle a little bit. Now, I think the Masters made some pretty good interest there.
Maybe Brant Snedeker will make a run, man.
I mean, the NFL only has like four games at noon on Sunday, and they're all Fox games because of the Masters. So, and the Masters are supposed to be over by 2 o'clock Central on Sunday.
I believe that when I see it, but yeah.
Well, they've done this purposely.
Sure.
Because if there's a playoff, they got to get it done before it gets dark at 3:30.
Right. Yeah, that is the drawback about playing in November.
Yes, it is.
Lose the ball out there. I would lose.
But like
several.
The NFL primetime games this week are like CBS, like normal CBS games, like Colts, Titans, Ravens, Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Forget what the Monday night game is, but
it can't be worse than the last one.
No,
Patriots and Jets.
The least exciting game ever.
Yeah.
The college schedule is pretty bad. It's pretty bad this week. Actually, Wisconsin-Michigan, if that proceeds as it looks like it will, isn't it? That's the primetime ABC. That's pretty good. Maybe. I think Michigan will play well. Actually, I think Michigan will beat them. But,
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate text in and says, watch football with no sound on Saturday and listen to the Masters on ESPN 94.9. We appreciate that, Nate. That's exactly what you can do.
Nice plug, Nate.
Why didn't we think of that?
We did. Well, I just read it a minute ago, but that's okay. We can absolutely do that on Saturday. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans and the Colts. How big is the advantage for the Titans at the quarterback position heading into this game tomorrow? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.